101.9 FM, broadcasting from the Vancouver campus at University of British Columbia. Before we begin our program, we just want to give a little warning to all those listening at home. This is going to be a little bit explicit, may have a little bit of vulgar content. Just want you to know, there's kids in the car. Turn it down. Put on some Kids Bop. If grandma's listening, it's bedtime. So without further ado,
welcome to Clothing Optional,
where we talk about
car sex.
Sucking,
commitment, sexuality,
sex worker
empowerment, meeting someone out,
loving your body,
cock is
Tinder,
with your sexuality.
Wait, that's my app. Relationships, love,
let's destroy,
and all the things we're really bad at.
Future employers, you're welcome.
Let's fuck.
My name is Ethan,
and my name is Vicky.
Let's get to fucking.
Hi, my name is Ethan.
My name is Vicky.
And today, we're going to be talking a little bit about sex.
And all that good stuff that comes with it.
Absolutely. So the reason for this podcast and for the conversations that we're having today is to reduce stigma and to start a conversation about something that's important to all of us. There's a sex-positive magazine based in Brooklyn, New York, called Math Magazine. And I just recently picked up one of the editions, and there's an amazing note from the editor, Mackenzie Peck. And so I'm going to read you an excerpt, which really embodies what Clothing Optional means to us. Sexuality is often associated with vice, lust, obscenity, and indecency. It's unfortunate that flesh is vilified, with guilt-inducing judgments of sexually impure thoughts and paranoia-inducing images like God cries when you masturbate, we are conditioned to carry the weight of judgment and discouraged from developing an essential part of humanity. In sexuality, institutions perceive a threat, an unmanageable desire that pulls us towards disorder. Yet denial of these parts of ourselves leaves us broken and vulnerable to exploitation. Wherever we land on the spectrum, from highly sexual to not super interested in sex, sexual energy is a powerful current running through all of us. It connects us from birth, creating and animating everyone. Within the mystery, power, and depth of our sexuality is a better understanding of who we are. Through it, we can live more authentically, enacting a positive influence on how we treat one another, and ultimately shaping the social norms we live by. Conversely, pushing sexual pleasure away into obscurity and shame will allow for more exploitation and violence to thrive. Repression of something so essential is dangerous. Leaving it unexplored and misrepresented will do no good. Bringing sex into the light of day as an indelible aspect of life is how we can grow together. And that is why we're going to talk about some sex. So, Vicky, tell me, what are some sex that you've been having lately?
Honestly, it's been a pretty good time lately. I've been reliving my high school years of hooking up in a car.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, did that recently.
Wait, tell me about that.
Well, okay, so I've been seeing this guy, and he's great, buys me things, buys me trips to Hawaii. Hey.
Oh, my God, he's buying you a trip to Hawaii?
He already did, and we're going.
No way.
Yes.
No, wait, what?
It'd sure be like that. I don't know, man. I don't know what he sees in me, why he finds me appealing in any way. But he's willing to take me to Hawaii, so, like, you know, I'm packing my bags.
How did you meet this guy?
Hinge, which I stand for till the end of time. Hinge is the best. Granted, I've had no relationships off of Hinge, only heartbreak, but it's still better than Tinder, so.
Well, in order for you to have heartbreak, it means that you had to have a heart at some point.
I know. Where did it go?
Well, I think it got screwed out of you in the back of a car.
It sure did.
So can you tell me that story? What's going on?
Nobody hooks up in a car anymore.
Well, I sometimes do.
I guess. I say nobody. I mean me. I don't hook up in a car anymore. But I did the other day because I was just like, you know what? This needs to happen and I have nowhere to do this. And he had nowhere to do this because he lives in Seattle. We're obviously in Vancouver. So I'm not driving 2 hours away just to get some dick. I would rather meet halfway and just get some mediocre version of it.
So you drove halfway between Seattle and Vancouver and met
him?
Yeah.
We went for like a movie date after work one day. And I was like, you know what? It's getting spicy. And like, it always gets spicy when you have no room for it. When you're sitting at home or like in bed with the person.
Just let me lay
literally,
there.
Literally, I just want to lay there. Don't even touch me. Me out in public? I'm done.
like literally under the table in a mm-hmm. restaurant. It's like I something about how when everyone is just there, it's like I shouldn't be doing this. I mean, yeah. What happened to me this weekend? I hooked up with somebody about 2 feet away from my friends who were asleep in a bed not far away from us.
Wait, they were in the same room?
They were in the same room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so, oh, my gosh. That was, I'm going crazy over that hookup. That was really, really an amazing time.
Tell me about it.
Alrighty, so this boy was a friend of one of my oldest friends. And she came to visit, and she brought her friends over, and we were all just going to hang out this weekend. And we did, and there was just some weird chemistry. I didn't know that he was into dudes, which kind of made me a little more attracted to him in a weird, messed up way. And he was just super cool, and the friends that I made were super awesome. And all these different connections, like we were making out at the club, and we were making out at the club and whatnot. And then the next day, we were hanging out again, and I didn't know if he was into me or not. I wasn't sure what was going on until just we ended up making out in a park on the way home when it was just the two of us. And then all four of us were having a sleepover in my room. And so the two girls went to bed a little bit early. He stayed up a little bit later. I was showering, and then I was like, well, I guess I'm sharing a bed with him. And then we shared a bed, and I sucked his penis, and he gave me some fire head. And this was the first time that he'd done that with a guy. And he was very good. And I think one of the most important things is the massive, massive piece of meat between his legs. This boy had the largest penis of anyone I had ever seen. And he was kind of alluding to it earlier. He was making jokes about, well, you know, everyone who I hook up with tends to come back. And I'm like being cheeky, like, oh, yeah, why is that? And he just like says, because I'm kind of hung. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah, everyone says that.
But he meant it. Oh, my. I was writing a final today, and I was dreaming about his penis.
Wow.
So what was the biggest penis that you have ever encountered?
The biggest penis was attached to the biggest piece of shit I've ever known. So, no, not him. Not my ex. the absolute garbage person I used to hook up with in the back room of Starbucks when I worked there.
Sorry, can you tell us a story?
Oh, God. It's too long of a story. He was creepy, and he was, like, I thought he was 5 years older than me. He was 8 years older than me. I was, like, 16 at Starbucks.
Oh.
No, I was maybe, like, 16 turning 17. So he was, like...
So still not... Well, I guess 16 is age of consent, right?
I guess, but, like, whatever. He was my shift supervisor, so, like, you can't say no, right? But
oh, my gosh.
At first, it was, like, a vibe. Anyway, point is, big dick.
Point is, big dick.
Dude. But also just... A big dick in general. Like, what a garbage person.
Oh, fair.
Wish him nothing but the worst.
But. So, like, when you enjoyed that penis, was it enjoyable?
It was. And if it was detached from the rest of him, I'd go back.
You'd go back.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really interesting concept. I was really glad. So I just performed oral and received oral from this guy. I really do not know what would happen if he... Well, first of all, he doesn't live in the city, so I will probably not see him like that again, which really sucks because...
You will.
I hope I do.
You're smiling. You will.
I hope so. I don't know. I think he's really, really, really pretty, and he's super cool, but whatever. Regardless, it's not like I'm going to necessarily get to the point where, like, anal intercourse will come into the play.
Mm.
I do not know how I would act if somebody with that big of a penis asked to have sex with me. I don't know. I could either. That would freak me out. How did it work for you?
I mean, it did, and it was fine. But, like, and I did actually have anal with that guy from Starbucks.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. proudest moments.
It didn't hurt, though.
It was... Like, I think if you're, like, in the mood and you have enough lube, like, it's not bad. You just have to be, like, relaxed. If you're like, oh, my God, this is going to hurt, then it's, like, whatever. But if it's just, like, I don't know how to explain it. You just, if you're ready.
I agree. I think
it's just weird because you can't lube up a butthole.
It does. It's not natural. It doesn't make lube. And if it does, you might need to go, like, take some
medicine. That needs to be sorted.
That needs to be sorted because I don't think that's lubricant.
No.
I don't want to get into that.
No, I think we should stray save from that. That conversation.
I think we should save that for when we have a real story to tell about one of that. So, having sex in a car. Tell me, is it enjoyable? Are you enjoying having sex in this car? No.
The thing is, though, I feel like sometimes a hookup, like, you know how it is when you're, like, unwrapping a present on Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to unwrap a good gift.
Me too.
I don't really care what the gift is, though. So, like, the actual, like, act, I was like, eh. But it was just like, ooh, we're getting, like, hot and heavy, and, like, we just can't get off of each other. I'm like, okay.
You literally just hit the nail on the head. With me, I would rather keep our underwear on as long as possible because the gift looks so much better when it's covered. And then when it gets uncovered, I'm like, okay, well.
There's no mystery. I've found out everything.
I've seen it all. So I kind of like keeping socks on during bed. I'm not a fan of feet, so socks is a good thing. But also, it's just like when there's something covered, I don't know. It just feels like, okay, there's like more to uncover.
Yeah. Sorry to anyone who likes feet. That's just not.
Ciao. Anyways, I think we should transition into something that we saw the other weekend.
We sure did.
What did we go see, Victoria? What did we go see?
Well, Ethan, we went to go see the Hump Festival.
Wow!
Oh my god, is that a soundboard? Crazy. So, what the Hump Festival is, let me read you guys a little about off of their website. The Hump Film Festival has been bringing audiences a new kind of porn since 2005. Oh, do I get a breathy undertone from you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lovely. The festival features short, dirty movies, each less than five minutes. All created by people who aren't porn stars, but want to be one for a weekend. The filmmakers and stars show us what they think is hot and sexy, creative and kinky. Their ultimate turn-ons, and their craziest fantasies. Can't with you. Our carefully curated program is a cornucopia of body types, shapes, ages, colors, sexualities, genders, kinks, and fetishes, all united by a shared spirit of sex positivity. Hey, I know someone who's sex positive. Would it be the Clothing Optional Podcast? Hump is a celebration of creative sexual expression. You will see films at Hump that shock you. You will see films at Hump that will make you laugh. And we sure did. And you will also be touched by the sincerity and vulnerability with which these films are lovingly made. Hump's main mission is to change the way America sees and makes and shares porn.
So we watch porn.
Well, also throw in Canada in there because Vancouver got their own showing.
We most definitely did. We sat at the Rio Theater and watched some porn in a sold-out theater with a bunch of adults hosted by Dan Savage, the icon himself.
It was so good.
It was so good. So basically the format of how this worked is Hump Film Festival. They have two things. They have their opening festival, which debuts, and the debut festival tours. So it went to Vancouver, it went to Seattle, it went to San Francisco, and it went to
Portland and Olympia.
Those are where we could vote on the best short film festivals, all under 5 minutes each. The short films, and they were all pornographic. They were all including a variety of body types and gender expressions and sexualities, and they were really, really hot. So we're going to tell you all about it right after these very important messages. And welcome back to 101.9 CITR. You are listening to Clothing Optional, the Sex Positive Podcast.
Yeah, you are.
And just a little warning for those just tuning in, this is an explicit program. There is some lewd language, and right now we're talking about porn.
Hump Festival.
We're talking about the Hump Festival. That is right. So right now, let's discuss some of the films, and what we thought of them. So
I liked them all. Well, that's not true. I liked all of them except for like maybe five.
Okay, you liked all them but five.
Yeah.
So basically what it was is it was a collection of around 21, not around 21, it was exactly 21 videos, and they were all porn related, and we could vote on them based on different categories. And so the categories were best in sex, best in show, best of kink, and best of
humor.
Best of humor. And so let's review what some of the shows were. So here I have a photo of The Ballot with the 21 titles on it. My best in show was a film titled Wildfire. And Wildfire was this beautiful orgy of different bodies and people having sex, and they were on fire. It wasn't CGI. There was like flash paper and some sort of like fire-breathing chemical on them.
Yeah, no one had the budget for CGI.
No one had the budget for CGI, unless they won. They could win a good cash prize.
That's true.
But what was your best in show?
My best in show was Good Kitty.
Good Kitty. What was Good Kitty about?
I felt like it didn't meet the categories of the other ones. So Good Kitty was like this couple, and the girl leaves for work and she knows she's going to have a long day. So she leaves a to-do list for her Good Kitty, and like the guy puts on a collar and he's like, oh, like, you know, he has to set her up wine and like give her a massage. I'm like, wow, I want to be a part of that relationship. I want to be treated nicely.
Just want to be a good owner.
And the sex looked really good. And it was just like a very aesthetically pleasing, like well-shot movie.
I think everyone in the theater collectively all went, aw.
Yeah.
They just thought that was really nice. Something that people did not go, aw, to was the hardcore bondage one. Do you remember that one? Tell me what you like.
Yeah, that one was a lot.
That made me squirm just a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
So basically, it's the premise of this film is there is there's a dominatrix and a submissive, and they're sitting at a bar, and they're dressed in normal clothes, and then the dominatrix says, tell me what you like, and then the submissive whispers back, and then it cuts to this extremely graphic depiction of someone getting waterboarded, and they're in latex and getting whipped, and they're really getting whipped, and
they didn't hold back,
and it was so hardcore, and I definitely need to start trying BDSM. 100%. I need to quit with the little light choking. I'm going to need some devices. I got many years to live, but I'm going to need some experience with this. Have you experienced like some BDSM?
Not besides like slight choking, like you said. Like or like handcuffs. Like I've done that. That's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the budget or like
yet.
That's true.
I'm thinking about
I do agree though.
Rich.
I want to get into it.
Oh yeah.
But, like, easier when you're moved out of your parents' house, you know.
Hence the car sex.
Yes. I know. I've got limited options, guys.
That's so fair.
I'm trying. I'm working on it.
Working on it. So can you – there's one that I would like to also discuss, and that involves pancakes. Please tell me about that.
That one. Okay, let me set the scene. Two lesbians are having sex. Then – one of them just gets bored. And
I'm hungry. I want some cake.
Yeah. Picks up her phone, goes, bring over the cake. And these two gay guys stop having sex. And they go, yeah, we'll bring you some cake. We're on our way. They go into the kitchen. I'm like, oh, they're going to make them a cake. This is just like Good Kitty. They're just being nice pals.
Aww.
Oh, no, they aren't. Well, they are... So they get into the kitchen and they grab a whisk. They put it into one of the guy's butts. He starts twerking over the plate, over the bowl, mixing their syrup.
With a full mixer in his anus, protruding out of his anus, and he's using that to mix it.
Mm-hmm.
Hands free.
He's getting down.
Bluetooth.
He's a wizard, Harry.
and then one guy bends over.
Mm-hmm.
His gaping anus is open, and you're like, what are they doing now? They take a big syringe, and they suck up the pancake batter, and they inject it into this man's asshole.
And then he kind of he stands up, and he's like, ooh, and like
a little drips out.
Butt
a little drips out. He just...
Yeah, right onto the finger, right? Just...
Right into that mouth. Mm.
Yummy, yummy in the tummy.
Oh,
can't wait.
It's quite literally in his tummy.
Yummy, yummy in my lower intestine.
Then they hop on their bikes and they head over to their friend's house who, you know, invited them.
And they grabbed, you know, some whipped cream and they grab...
some berries.
Some berries.
He put it all in their mouth.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have hands.
Safekeeping.
And they bike naked, aside from aprons, in this public video of them, like, riding down Portland.
Big dick energy. That's for sure.
Big dick energy. They get over there. Basically, long story short, they fry these pancakes.
We're having
I'm speechless.
Trouble.
I'm speechless. I this memory has been burned into my mind of him pooping the pancake batter onto this pan. And in one take, we watched him cook and eat this pancake. This was...
And they spit out the berries, too, lest we forget.
It was blueberry pancakes, all that came from within a human.
Yum, yum
in my tummy. So who are we watching this with? I think that's kind of important to note. Like, who was in this theater? What did you watch around?
What I was surprised, I thought this was going to be one of those events when you told me about it, where it's going to be a bunch of edgy kids like us being like, oh my God, we're so woke. But it was like 30, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. We were in the minority.
We were one of the youngest people there.
Yeah. I mean, that has to do with the drinking age, too. That limited our options.
That's fair. And so we actually interviewed a few of these people outside the theater afterwards. So we're going to roll some of their clips. Forgive us. The audio is very, very bad. But we're new to podcasting. Just give us a little break, guys. Don't spank us. OMG. So we'll talk. We'll meet you on the other side. So we are standing outside of Hump. So we just wanted to ask whoever is willing to answer why you came to the festival today.
I just really found it online and I thought, really interesting, really sexy, let's do it. What I thought about it, surprising, super surprising. A lot more artistic than I thought it was going to be. And a lot easier to enter the butthole than I thought it was going to be. Smooth sailing for a lot of these people.
So this is my girlfriend, and she brought me. I was honestly so terrified of, like, the whole thing, but I did a little bit of reading, and I was like, wow, this is actually really interesting, and, like, the things that you can come up is, like, after we're probably going to talk about, like, what we found attractive, what we didn't, and we're just going to, like, figure out more about ourselves, and I'm really excited about that.
Love Dan Savage and have for so long.
We went to the festival last year, and we're really inspired from it, so we just wanted to bring our friends in a bigger group and do it all again.
Yeah, I went last year, the year before, and saw some really good films, and it was just a lot of fun and a great night.
I'm in a festival because I personally am a filmmaker, and I like porn and all kind of creativity. I felt a lot of them were very creative and inspiring, and some were unsettling in a very good way.
What was your favorite film and why?
My favorite were Good Kitty. And just for the filmmaking and the actual, like, image and camera play. And I don't remember the name, but it's the two girl with the ropes.
Right.
Yeah, filmmaking as well. And, like, the passion and the intensity was all good in that.
I really loved the Four Fans Only film. I thought it was a really good modern commentary on the role of the self-gaze in selfie culture and sexuality.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but Pancake Brunch. Just like the pouring of the pancake mix. So good.
I think probably Good Kitty, because I thought it was really sweet.
You know, the couple that made it was like, okay, so what are they going to do in the Hump Festival? And they made it comical. That was so, like, what real funny. Sex is like.
Yeah, it was just, like, really funny. It was, like, making fun of all of it, even though I've never been here before, so I don't know if I can say that. But, like, it was making fun of everything, and it was, like, laughing at it.
Okay, so a couple of you said you've come here a couple times. Was this year better than the previous years?
I would say it was different. I think production value probably definitely increased, although I did miss the amateur aspect of last year's festival. This is 2 years ago. There was more kind of like tripod set up in the corner, person playing on a guitar, like a ad-lib song, and this was like a lot more production value.
I think it was, similar. It was just different than the 2 years ago when I came. Because different people submit every year, whatever people choose to do a film on just will change and
a question moving forward, is there anything from tonight that you may take into the bedroom in the future? Any inspiration that you may have found in tonight's footage?
Okay, I really loved the Dear Lover letter with all the things I'm going to need when I come home tonight. I'm definitely going to integrate that into my life.
Definitely waterboarding. No, I'm just kidding. That one really scared me. Maybe like some other things. The rope one, the second one was watching the person tie those ropes.
So
that was like so impressive. And their accuracy with how tight those knots were.
I'm gonna say underwear. New underwear.
Yeah.
Different styles. Different styles. Maybe cut out the butt. I'm like, oh, maybe cut out the butt.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's exciting.
Will you be returning next year?
Of course.
100%. No question.
Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I would love to be back. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. I think Vancouver really needs this, and we'll definitely be back.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, keep these coming.
So there was one couple who we were interviewing, and we just got talking about how Vicky and I have a great friendship. We've seen each other's nudes.
We have.
We've actually reviewed them before sending them out.
Mm-hmm.
She takes good nudes.
So does Ethan.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
No, you looked at me like, anyway, I'm going to say this because I want to hear it.
Yes, I'm fishing for compliments.
I've seen your cum shot, and it is impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. Everyone on air, thank you. So basically, we told her that, and she wanted to see our nudes. We're at a sex-positive festival.
I would like to point out, she said, show me yours, I'll show you mine. And we're like, yeah, we want to see some titty. We got duped.
Let's roll the clip.
I want to see your nudie. If you have the kind of relationship where you trade nudes and you evaluate nudes,
for sure.
100%, I'm there with you. Like, can I grade, like, your best nude?
Only at Hump Festival.
So, I suffer from body dysmorphia, so I don't put my face in these. No. But, and I also half the time don't have anybody to send them
everyone
to.
If you're present, but it's like,
honey, I'm sorry, but va va voom. Fuck you. Fuck you. That's your subconscious pic. Fuck you.
Can you describe the nude?
Thick with two C's. THICC. I'm upset.
Bad bitch.
We stan.
Okay, let's go.
I'm trying to find him.
Hunty.
How are you feeling? You're in a relationship. Don't answer that question. Don't answer that.
Look at
Don't
it.
Answer that. Don't answer that.
You're hot. You're really fucking hot.
Well, thank you.
The lighting, more than anything, artistique. I feel like I'm from Perry, and I am I'm a creator of art festival and beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was nice to meet you.
So yeah, that was a fun time. So definitely 10 out of 10. Would you recommend this festival?
Oh, 100%. I'm going again next year, and I want to go in a bigger group.
We are going, my friends who I've told about this, we're going to go in a big squad by a whole row. So
honestly,
what are you going to take away from this? We asked some of the people outside, but I want to hear your answer.
My answer? Honestly, I don't know. I feel like besides the super, like I'm not going to do waterboarding and like putting cake batter up my butt, but.
That's fair.
You know, it's just not my thing. But I feel like the other stuff, like, I've done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've either just not enjoyed it or I have and I'm just already doing it.
That's good.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think that for me, it's keeping my mind open and realizing what I found is the crowd was a lot of people who are older than I am, older than we are. And
so you're going meta. Okay.
No,
I thought you meant, like, what position are you doing next?
No, well, that's what I mean is that I'm realizing that in this bubble of university campuses and sex education, I often think, you know, younger people are the ones who are having a lot of sex, but that's just not true.
No.
It's just a perspective that I'm not used to seeing because I don't often have conversations about sex with people older than I am. They're having it. They're having good sex. The people in the films were all ages from, like, gray hair to looks like they're just legal to make it. And that gives me hope to know that I'm not in a rush to experiment. There's a lot of stuff that I want to keep trying and I want to just take my time. And I don't think that there's ever anything to run out of because sex and sexuality is like, it links to everything, you know? But I think
I think we also forget that, like, I don't know, it's really easy to be like, oh, we're the opposite of boomers, so we're millennials. But like millennials are like in their 30s. Like,
and they're having good sex out there.
Yeah. Like it's not like when I think old people, I think my parents and I don't want to think that. So
exactly.
I just pretend that they don't have sex, you know?
This is for another episode. We're going to be talking about this. But something that I will be taking away immediately will be I'm going to do some more BDSM and a little bit more role playing because I think that that's something that I'm into. I want to be trying.
And we're theater kids, so
I want to act. I want to act. Period.
That's on that.
That is on that. So that was our first episode of Clothing Optional. Thank you. My name is Ethan.
My name is Vicky.
From CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you so much for listening. And have a wonderful, sexy evening.
Hey, this-
This is Emily.
This is Lauren.
From Nice Apple. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Dial.
Thank you. gave you my heart, but it couldn't open. It's been drifting round. Maybe it's broken, maybe it's closed. I gave you my heart, but it couldn't take it. All this making up just to find me gone. It can't be this hard to sustain it alone. It can't be this hard to sustain it alone. I've gone through it all, took every fall. Nothing I'm proud of, but I was careless with love. I've gone through it all, jumped every wall. Nothing I'm proud of, I'm still careless with love. I gave you my heart, but it couldn't open. It's been drifting round, maybe it's broken, maybe it's closed. I gave you my heart, but it couldn't take it. All this making up just to find me gone. It can't be this hard to sustain it alone. It can't be this hard to sustain it alone. I've gone through it all, took every fall. Nothing I'm proud of, but I was careless with love. I've gone through it all, jumped every wall. Nothing I'm proud of, I'm still careless with love. Gave you my heart, but it couldn't take it. All this waking up just to find me gone.
Let's get ready to rumble! Round four.
It's Shindig 2020, CITR's annual Battle of the Bands extravaganza. 16 bands enter, one will be left standing.
It's happening every Tuesday in January at Redgate.
For our fourth and final week, we have Attawolf and the Tribe, Strudes Monroe, Babe Corner, and Paperwave.
Doors are at 7:30, bands at 8. $5 at the door, though no one will be turned away for lack of funds.
Finalists will be announced on Wednesday, January 29th.
Come out on Tuesday to hear some of the Lower Mainland's best bands throw down for the top spot.
The Carnegie Community Action Project is based out of the downtown east side. We work to help people fight gentrification, increase the welfare rates, as well as to fight for the rights of the people of the downtown east side. Please join our cause.
Please come to the CCAP volunteer meetings every Friday at 11:15, the Carnegie Community Center on the third floor. Thank you very much.
Housing now for the Oppenheimer homeless.
Thank you.